You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Morning, everybody. I went to the picnic and I had too much peanut butter pie. It's not good for me. I am not free to eat as much peanut butter pie as I would like. Even though I didn't act that way, I had way too many pieces and I felt it. I'm still feeling it. I wish I could eat the whole thing. Well, we're continuing to work on and through the book of Galatians this summer. And so far, Paul has made it really clear that what we're free from, that we're free from some things. I am not totally free from my peanut butter pie eating, but Paul makes it clear that we are free from some stuff. And some of the stuff that he talked about that we're free from in the book of Galatians is that we're free from the Jewish customs like circumcision, we're free from the curse of the law, we're free from supervision and tyranny of the law, we're free from having distinctions made in the church based on our race, on our ethnic background, on our gender, on our economic situation. We're free. We're free from idols and all that is God, that is not God, right? And we are free from our little selves, right? We are free from our own disasters, our own messes. We could classify these things as sort of negative freedom, things that we're free from. Because Christ has come, we're released from the fear of the future, from condemnation, free from guilt. We're free from what will happen tomorrow. Now, the world kind of defines freedom a little differently. Freedom is freedom of restraint, according to the world. In other words, freedom to do whatever I want to do, as much pie as I want to eat. No one is going to tell me what to do. I am grown. How many of you ever heard that? If you're a teacher in high school, you hear it all the time. As soon as the kids hit like close to 18, right? I'm full grown. I'm full grown. I'm not half grown. I'm full grown, right? I'm full grown, says the 18 or the 21-year-old still living at home, not paying any bills whatsoever, right? I'm grown. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I am free, right? The world defines freedom as a freedom of restraints, free from anyone telling us what we should do. I'm American. I'm free, right? I am free from all of these things. Now, what are the problems with negative freedom? What is the problem with this idea of freedom to do whatever I want to do? Well, I'm going to give you four. I'll give you four problems. One, what if what I want is wrong or self-destructive? On what basis can anyone be challenged about any decision they make because every decision is protected by this absolute defense called freedom, right? How do you ever say to someone, I don't think you should do that. Like, that could be bad for you. I think dating this person is really a bad move. I think this relationship is going to end really badly. On what basis can we challenge someone else or be challenged if we simply assert our freedom? Freedom is ultimately the trump card. It is boss. It keeps every one of us from being challenged, from being critiqued, from being confronted about anything. My body, I do what I please. It's your job to support me if you're my friend. It's my life. If I want to marry this person, if I want to quit my job, it's up to me. I can walk away from my marriage, my kids. It's my life. It's my free choice. So I can do things that God says he hates, or I can choose things that will ultimately destroy me, and you have no right to challenge me. Have you ever tried to challenge someone on an issue, and they never really talk about the issue at all? They just say, hey, I'm free. You're challenging my freedom. I have the freedom to do whatever I want, but they're not talking about the actual issue that's destroying them. The second problem with defining freedom as freedom from restraint is, what if what I want conflicts with what other people want? What if my upstairs neighbor likes to play like scream metal at level 10 while saturating the entire building with green smog from their pot smoking, and I have just started school and I'm a teacher and I'm coming home and I'm so tired. I've had a long day and I've dealt with middle schoolers, high, whatever, all of it, whatever grade you teach. And you just want to pour yourself a glass of wine and read a good book, but your freedom is being assaulted by your upstairs neighbor, right? What if what I want conflicts with what other people want? What if your family wants you home, but you are pushing them away? Or what if you decide to push them away and breaking your promise? That's freedom from restraint, freedom to do whatever I want. What if I don't know what I want? What if I don't even know? Another issue with defining freedom as a freedom to do what I want, what if I don't know what I want? I mean, I'm complicated. I'm a complicated person. I have a lot of conflicting desires and wants, right? I want to eat a gallon of peanut butter ice cream or the entire peanut butter pie at the picnic. But I also don't want to lose my leg because I have diabetes, right? What if you want to smoke cigarettes forever, but you probably want to live a little bit longer and you know that's bad for you? What if you want to explore multiple sexual relationships, but one day you want a committed companion, someone to grow old with based on love and trust? We have conflicting things in our mind. The freedom to do whatever we want breaks down because lots of times we don't even know what we want. Listen, most people want to be happy. They spend their whole lives making decisions based on their happiness. You know, like adding to your Amazon cart makes you happy, right? For a moment. Or let's say you're a young woman and you're a follower, an apprentice of Jesus, and you want to be happy, and you decide to date someone who doesn't have the same faith as you. He has a philosophy of, you know, what's good for you is good for you. You can do you. I'm going to do me. But he never talks about marriage, and she thinks he will make her happy. Maybe that if we date, I'll be happy. And it's her choice. He's going to make me happy. Then she discovers that she's pregnant. And they decide they should get married. Even though he never talks about marriage, they decide, let's get married. I'm pregnant. Maybe they get married. Maybe that will make me happy. If we get married, that'll make me happy. Then we have a baby, and we think, oh, no, we need a bigger house. Maybe if we get a bigger house and we have a bigger mortgage, and the mortgage is kind of stressing our finances out, maybe that'll make us happy. I thought it was going to make us happy. But now we have all this debt, and we've maxed out our credit cards, and I thought I was going to be happy. I thought this guy was a good decision. And then the guy decides, I don't think this is really making me happy. It's not really what I want. This isn't making me happy, this whole situation. And just decides to leave. If freedom is simply the ability to do whatever I want, what if I don't know what I want? Have you ever gone hard after happiness, thinking certain choices would make you happy, and found yourself really unhappy, right? And finally, my fourth one is, what if what I want will actually destroy my freedom? If we look at what Paul says in Galatians 5, in verse 13, he says this: you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Paul is about freedom. Galatians is all about freedom. The book of Galatians is all about freedom. But he is also concerned about preserving freedom. You see, there's only one absolute free being in the universe, and it's not you. It's God. It's God. Psalms 115, verse 3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. We are limited, and there's a million things in our lives that are out of our control. The weather, the economy, health, other people, God's will. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Did you know that the original word that Paul used, indulge, actually was originally a military term? I did not know this. It was actually a military term, and it actually meant the starting point of a base operation for an assault. Like you build this base for an assault. And Paul says, when you abuse your freedom, when you do whatever you want without regard to God, you create an inner staging ground, a base of operations for an assault. The problem is, the more you indulge yourself and go after everything your heart wants without restraint, without regard to God, or the best interest of others, the more you can find yourself being taken captive by your own desires. When you go all in, freedom to eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, sleep with whoever you want to sleep with, shop as much as you want, work as much hours as you want, exercise as much as you want, on our devices, gaming consoles as much as you want, you're going to find yourself tangled with addiction. Only God can handle unrestrained freedom. The rest of us actually end up slaves entangled in our own flesh and sinful nature. We need something more than freedom from. We need to understand what are we set free for? Why are we actually set free? What are we set free for? And Galatians 5:13-14 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. What are we free for? God sent his son into the world to free us to be people that he created us to be. He wants to liberate us from everything that keeps us from being everything that he made us to be. Paul says what we're made to be, first of all, is servants of God. And secondly, servants to each other. It's like this. We're created to be in a certain environment. A fish in a fishbowl was created to be free. The fish wants to be free. In the fishbowl, wants to be free. So the fish jumps out of the fishbowl. Free! Lands on the carpet, right? On the floor, gasping, dies. Is the fish really free? The fish was created to live and be free in a certain environment. There's an environment in which the fish can flourish. It's in water, right? There is an environment where our freedom lives and flourishes. Well, in what environment does our freedom flourish? Freedom is not a gift that we take from God and say, thanks for the freedom. I'll see you later. I'm out. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. We are most free when we are in close connection with God. When we turn our back on God and we move away from God, we find ourselves more enslaved and more entangled, even though we're running after freedom. We find this all over the Bible. God's people leave their relationship with God in some quest for freedom. The Israelites, they were brought to the promised land of God. God offered them freedom. Stay close to me. They make a covenant with him, and then we read this in Judges chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around them, whom they are no longer able to resist. This happens so much in the Bible. God's people turn away. They get enslaved, entangled, whether it be the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians. Freedom flourishes when we are in relationship with God. We were created to be in relationship with God. Just as the fish needs water, humans need God. Freedom flourishes also in an atmosphere of love. Freedom flourishes in an atmosphere of love. Fish need water. Humans also need love. Mother Teresa said, even the rich are hungry for love, for being cared for being wanted, for having someone to call their own. The environment in which humans flourish is an environment of love because as I love other people, I also receive love. The more I love, the more I am becoming the person God intended me to be. Well, what is love? What is love? No, I'm just... love is not selfish, right? Love is not selfish. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We misuse the word love. We use it to, like, cover our desires of self-indulgence a lot. We say, I love you, just really to get something in return. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about, right? Or maybe if you're dating, you know what I'm talking about too. But love is not for self-indulgence. Love is not actually a feeling. Serve one another humbly in love. Love is to serve one another. Literally means be enslaved to one another. This word would have like shocked the Greco-Roman first century people. When Paul used it, he's saying slavery. He's putting freedom and slavery together. He's putting it together. He's saying you're free before God, free access to God, freedom to express all that is in your heart to God, free from guilt, free from powers, free from being controlled by idols, free from the burden of law, and you're free from yourselves. Now you're free to practically love another person through acts of service. In, like, as a slave, like, I am acts of service, I'm enslaved to love you. That would have wrecked the Romans back then, that idea of putting that together. Love is not a feeling, it's actually practical. It involves serving others, the well-being of others. Love is also not lawless. In Galatians 5:14, for entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Not only do we look at freedom and service as sort of opposite ends, we also look at love and law as polar opposites as well. We see law as like restrictive, rule-keeping, dull, deadening. And we see love as spontaneous, alive, open, tolerant, welcoming. Paul says that the entire law is all summed up in this command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means, like, do you know that they added differently there? Like, when they talk about the sum, they would add up and the sum would be at the top. The Greeks would do that, right? And so the idea is, like, if you're honoring your mother and father, you do not murder, you do not commit adultery, you do not steal, you do not lie, you do not covet. That's the law, right? And all that's summed up at the top as love. If I'm acting in love towards you, I know what love isn't. Love isn't lawless. If I lie about you or to you, I'm not loving you. If I steal from you, whether I steal your reputation, your good name, your possessions, I steal your girlfriend, this is not love. Adultery can't be loving. Wanting what you have, your possessions, or your position, that's can't be love. That can't be love. What is the standard of love? For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is more than law keeping, but it is never less. I need to go beyond not stealing, not lying, not coveting, but I can't do less than that. Now, there is a surefire guide that should determine how you and I act in every situation. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. Love your neighbor. You don't want to be lied to? Then don't lie. You don't want your stuff stolen? So don't steal. You don't want your marriage vows broken? Then don't break them. You want to be listened to, complimented, recognized, understood, affirmed, acknowledged. Praise and thank people because you want to be praised and thanked. Freedom flourishes when we are close to God in an environment of love and of service. And you know what love is? It's what we want to have happen to you, to us. So we need to work on practicing loving others in the same way. Why don't we stand? We're going to have a time of ministry this morning where we're going to worship some more, and we're going to have an opportunity to also pray for one another. And for some of you, this idea of freedom, maybe you've wrestled with the past, not sure how that fits in your world. And I really feel like there might be some people in the room that goes, man, I've been out of the environment of where I can really flourish in freedom. And I need to get reconnected with God. I need to get reconnected with God in a real, practical way. And so I want to offer an opportunity for you to receive prayer today. We're going to have a prayer team, and they'll be in the back to my left and your right in the back, and they'll have a little badge on. But we would love to pray for you today. Just to invite Jesus into that relationship, into your environment, into your fishbowl, right? It's to swim in him. And then the other thing I want to say is that if there's anything else that you want prayer for, whether it be sickness or you're going through some things, we want to pray for that too during this time. So at any time during the worship songs, you feel led to go, oh, I could really use some prayer, just start walking back. The back of the room, my left, your right, we'd love to pray for you. All right? Let me just pray as we move into worship. Lord, would you just continue to move here? Would you continue to speak? Would you continue to engage? Would you continue to show us where you are and what you're doing? And as you're doing that, would you continue to just show us how to love, how to truly be free? Yeah. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.